All right, I'd like to introduce our first speaker, Thomas from Pittsburgh.
My name's Tom, I'm an addict. First of all, I'd like to thank God for waking me up another day clean and sober. I'd like to thank the Lower Highland area and the Unity Tree Committee for asking me to come back to share. I shared up here last year on Step 8. It's a good day to be clean. I just got here about 9:45, and I almost missed the exit. You know what I mean? Because if I'd have missed the exit, I'd have been late. But when I went and checked in, you know what I mean, and I registered, and I came up here, found out where I was going, I came up here. There wasn't nobody here but this little boy playing with this fire, trying to get the fire started. So I sat down. To make a long story short, I was saying, well, maybe nobody will come, and I can just go enjoy the rest of the day. But my clean day is June 7th, 1994. But only by God's grace I got the day. I don't take I don't take recovery for granted. I don't need a reason to use. I found that out my fifth year clean. Nothing's got to be wrong for me to use. I used drugs and alcohol for about 27 years, so nothing has to be wrong for me to take a walk. Like, it could be a bright day like today. When I was a kid, all my little buddies used to always go to this campsite called Pine Matunity years ago, and they would always come back and tell me about this campsite called Pine Matunity, and I always wanted to go to Pine Matunity, right? So when I came here last year, you know what I mean, I said to myself, well, I finally got to Pine Matunity. So, but like, that's what fourth step stuff does with me, you know what I mean? I thank God I had a sponsor, and I obtained a sponsor. I had the courage enough to ask someone to sponsor me when I got clean. And the gentleman I picked, I really didn't know him, but I would follow him around, and I would always hear him share, and I knew he knew how to stay clean, and he knew something about the 12s, 12 and 12. And he was a step guy, you know what I mean? He believed in working the steps in the traditions. He gave his sponsees directions, more like direction and order. He told us what books to buy. He told us what tapes to buy. He told us what to read. And, like, you know, I mean, he took time to get us together on a daily basis, at least three times a week. We would all hook up in his little minivan. He had one of them little hippie vans with flowers and stuff on it. And he would have put us all in his van. And we all would have a book. And I share about the book. If you're new, get you a book. Get you a basic text. Because we can give you some information, but it may not be correct information. So whenever I'm asked to share, I always bring the book with me, because I don't want to take you somewhere that's not conducive to recovery. So I always bring the literature and read what thus says the literature instead of what thus says Tommy. But I was asked to share on the fourth step, and let me get here where I'm at. And thank God, I did a four-step early in recovery out of confusion. You know what I mean? I was so confused and angry when I got here and resentful, and I really didn't know why, that I knew if I didn't stay and let someone direct me through this fellowship and this program, that I wasn't going to stay. So I had made up my mind I was going to get this sponsor, and I was going to do whatever he told me to do. And, like, that's what I did. Step 4 says we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. It says the purpose of a searching and fearless moral inventory is to sort through the confusion and the contradiction of our lives so that we can find out who we really are. We are starting a new way of life and need to be rid of the burdens and traps that controlled us and prevented us our growth. I was a very confused individual when I got here. And I had a whole lot of burdens and traps. I had no idea about who I really was because I lived in the dark for so long. You know what I mean? I mean, I know who people told me I was, but like even what they told me wasn't true. So it wasn't until I started doing step work and became willing and I surrendered enough to know that like I had to do this thing the way it was written. So one thing my sponsor did with me before I wrote step 4, he went over steps 1 and 2 and 3 with me. What my sponsor would do, he would have me read stuff, and he would ask me questions about the step. He just didn't let me go on to the step because I told him I was ready. He would make sure that me and my sponsor were ready to go on through these steps. But it talks in here on page 28. It says, to have the faith and courage to write a fearless inventory, steps 1, 2, and 3 are necessary preparation. So I had to be prepared to write a step 4. And it said, it is advisable that before we start, we go over the first 3 steps with the sponsor. We get comfortable with our understandings of these steps. We allow ourselves the privilege of feeling good about what we are doing. We've been thrashing about for a long time and have gotten nowhere. Now we start the 4th step and let go of the fear. We simply put it on paper to the best of our present ability. So I did a thorough step 1, you know what I mean, which we all should know by now what that is. We admitted we're powerless over our addiction and our lives have become unmanageable. I did a thorough step 2. We came to believe that power greater than self restores our sanity. And I did a real thorough step 3. We made a decision to turn our will over life to the care of God, and we understood Him. So when I started writing my 4th step, I didn't have a lot of fear. You know how like they talk about, well, a lot of us are scared to write a 4th step because we're afraid what we might find. You know, we might find a ghost and all that crash dummy stuff. But like, I was hungry for answers, because what I did in early recovery, I would go to meetings and I would share everything. And I would tell the truth about everything. And what was happening would be I wasn't getting no answers. I didn't know you didn't have the answers. I thought you had all the answers. I didn't know I had to go inside. I didn't know I had to do no writing and all this stuff to find out what I was looking for. But what the group did and my sponsor did, they would put me on the path to go get the answers that I was looking for. So I had a God in my understanding when I started writing. I knew that. So, but what happened with me, I went, after my sponsor gave me the format, I went back to 1958. I'll be 60 years old in January. I started writing my 4th step from the age 7 or 6, as far back as I can go, to get in touch about what was I really angry about, what was I resentful about. Because them were the 2 most things that came up in my 4th step, was anger and resentment. And most of it had nothing to do with the drug. It was there before I even picked up a chemical. It was there before the disease of addiction. I need to tell you, I was raised in a speakeasy. My great-great-grandfather ran a speakeasy and he wrote numbers. So I was used to seeing strange people in my house at an early age. I was used to seeing different colored bottles and people having fun, or like I thought they were having fun, at an early age. I can remember being in this crib. And when I was a kid, they had cribs about like this here, and you couldn't get out of the crib. You know what I'm saying? So I can remember being in this crib upstairs on the 2nd floor, calling for someone to come get me. I might have been 1.5, 2, and no one would never come get me. So I didn't know I was angry and resentful about that for a long time. I just didn't know at who. So that's where I started. I wasn't a bad kid coming up. I need to tell you, I grew up in an Italian-Polish neighborhood. There was maybe 2 or 3 black families. So most of the people, kids I grew up with, were of that descent. So what happened was, when I got old enough to go to school, I wanted to go to school with them. They went to Catholic school. My people didn't have money to send me to Catholic school. Well, they had it, but they didn't. So I went to an elementary school. So that's when I got in touch with my own people, really. So it was like a culture shock to me when that happened. But to tell the truth, I was angry about that. I was angry with my big brother because he took me to this school and he left me. And I can remember like it was yesterday, I hit the ceiling. I was crying and boo-hooing and, you know, like, how dare you leave me? And what the 4th step does is, like, pinpoint certain people. And I've been angry at my big brother ever since. I didn't know it, though, till I put it on paper. I was angry at my parents because they didn't send me a Catholic school. I didn't know it until I put it on paper. But I must have had about maybe 50 pages of paper written. with my fourth step. I meant to bring it, for real, because I found my original fourth and eighth step, right? And I really meant to bring it, but I left the house, and I left it in the drawer because I didn't stay home last night. I stayed somewhere else. And because I was going to bring it, because I was actually going to go over it. But I just went over it last year with a sponsee brother of mine. You know what I mean? And because there's always more. The stuff I put on that paper, I need to go over it because I don't remember it all. It's impossible for me to remember what I actually wrote. And, like, I did a whole lot of writing in my early recovery. Every meeting I went to, I had a notebook and a pad and a pen. And I would always write down the topic. I would always write down who's chairing and who was there and, like, little notes about who shared what. And, like, I did this for about my first 5 or 6 years clean. You know what I mean? Because I needed direction, man. I fit the literature. And I still fit the literature. But it talks about writing a thorough and honest inventory seems impossible. It was as long as we were operating under our own power, we take a few quiet moments when we're writing and ask for the strength to be fearless and thorough. Who do we ask? God of understanding. I did a thorough step. I just told you. You know what I mean? I knew who to ask. Anybody but me. So, this is a step four. We begin to get in touch with ourselves. We write about our liabilities, such as guilt, that showed up, shame, remorse, self-pity, resentment and anger showed up more than anything, confusion, anxiety, betrayal, hopelessness, value, fear. Fear showed up too. You know what I'm saying? So, all that stuff showed up on paper. And it's still there. And, like, that's why, like, I need to go over it, you know what I mean, a little more often. I probably need to do another one, to be honest with you. I'm overdue to do another four, because different stuff comes up with me all the time. It never changes. But it talks about our assets must be considered, too. It talks about this is very difficult for most of us, because it's hard to accept that we have good qualities. However, we all have assets, many of them newly found in the program, such as being clean, open-minded, God awareness, honesty, acceptance, positive action, sharing, willingness, courage, faith, caring, gratitude, kindness, generosity. Also, inventory unity includes materials and relationships. I didn't know a whole lot about relationships because everything I ever done, I was under the influence for years. And I've been taught, whatever I haven't done clean, I haven't done it. Anything I haven't experienced clean, I haven't done it. Like doing a relationship clean and doing a relationship in addiction is two different worlds, two different lives. Watching a movie clean and watching a movie movie under the influence is two different movies. Listening to music high under the addiction and listening to music clean is two different songs. For me, I don't know how y'all perception is, but like that's how it worked for me. So I didn't know I had all these assets until I got clean. They've been sitting there all along. I've always been a pretty decent guy, just being misled under a destructive power. You know, so I've never been what you call a real bad guy. Although as a kid, I did do some stuff that most kids don't do. I don't think like. There was some forest around where I used to live at, and me and my little kids, little buddies used to go up there, and we used to start little campfires, but every now and then the campfire would get out of hand, and next thing you know, the whole hill would be on fire. And we're way down a mile away from home, and we're looking up at the mountain burning up, and the people around are looking at us saying, boy, you smell like you was awful close to that fire. They didn't know we were the ones that set the fire. We used to do stuff like that as a kid, but that stuff I don't usually share with y'all. Because I was like you dared me to do something as a kid, I did it. Why? I don't know if it was just about being accepted or just wanting to fit in, but I would do it. If you dared me to do something, I did it. So I did good with my step four. I did a real thorough step four, but like I said, it started at an early age. I went back to 1958 and start writing. I wasn't real, real bad coming up. I was a pretty shy kid at an early age, you know what I'm saying? But, like, that changed. It talks about the way to write an inventory is to write it, thinking about it, inventory, talking about it, theorizing about inventory, will not get it written. We sit down with a notebook, ask for guidance, pick up our pen, and start writing. Anything we think about is inventory material. When we realize how little we have to lose and how much we have to gain, we begin to step. And that's the main reason why I wrote the step, because I needed answers. I didn't have time. I didn't think I had time to be waiting. And like by the time I was 2 years clean, I had been through my step work. I mean, thoroughly. Thoroughly. I quit a job. I didn't work for like maybe 8 months when I first got clean. I had a job down in Virginia, and they held my job for me because they thought I was on medical leave, right? But the lady who was my boss, you know, I had to go back and forth to town like for like, you know, medical checkups. And so like she just put it on paper, I was on medical leave. And they kept my job for me, but all I did was meetings, man. I went to meetings day in and day out, 3-4 meetings a day. That's all I did. You know what I'm saying? Because I had did so much damage, I needed that time. I needed that time. If I had probably tried to go right back to work, I probably wouldn't be clean now. And I need to say, when I got clean, I had a lot of support. I had people pay my bills. I had people pay my car notes. People pay my insurance. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to worry about where I was going to stay or what I was going to eat. I had people do that for me. And like, if it don't be for that support, I wouldn't be here. You know what I mean? I know like a lot of people get clean and they feel like first thing they got to do is go back to work. Sometimes that could be a mistake. Because my main thing was I had to get a foundation. Why I spent so many years trying to kill myself anyway. What was that all about? What was it about me that I didn't like that one day at a time I was self-destructive? You know what I'm saying? That's what I had to find out. What was this all about? And then I had to find out what I was really up against. I had to learn more about the disease of addiction. I had to know who my enemy was beside me. Because most days, I'm my worst nightmare. See, like, I know I can't blame the disease of addiction on a lot of stuff anymore. Because most of the time, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know when I'm the culprit. I know when I'm not the culprit. But I can't say the disease made me do this and the disease made me do that. That's not true. You know what I mean? I'm very aware today. I'm very woke. Very woke. I may not act like it sometimes, but trust and know, I'm a pretty woke guy. So it talks about on the last page, on page 30, it talks about the stress once trapped inside of us is released. Writing will lift the lid off the pressure cooker. We decide whether we want to serve it up, put it on back on, or throw it out. We no longer have to stew in it. I threw out a whole lot of stuff. I think some stuff I'm still sitting on because there's a lot of stuff that was on paper I really wasn't all right with. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, like y'all, I mean, I've been taught to accept stuff even though I may not really want to. But, you know, I mean, just for, you know. But it says, we're not going to be perfect. If we were perfect, we'd not be human. And a lot of times when I use the word human and like I'll make a mistake and I'll say, well, I'm only human. But for real, sometimes it's a cop-out, especially when I know the mistake that I do. Some things are a mistake for me. Some things it's not a mistake. It's me. You understand what I'm saying? Because I know where it's going to take me. When I know when I do something that's against the law of recovery and where it's going to take me, and I go anywhere, anyway, it's not really a mistake. I'm pretty much aware of what's going to happen. It says, it's our experience that no matter how searching and thorough, no inventory of any lasting effect unless it's promptly followed by a thorough fifth step. When I got done writing my fourth step, it took me about 3 weeks. I think it was 3 days after that, I found my sponsor one day, and like he was driving my car down to Washington, D.C., going to a Senate meeting, and I was reading my fifth step, my fourth step to him. And he was just sitting there, you know, like it wasn't nothing. And it really wasn't no big deal. But like I did get some spiritual awakenings out of it. I got some revelations out of it, some good, some bad. Some stuff I was all right with, some stuff I wasn't. And like that's why I need to always go over or either go back and do it again sometime. But I always go to the index, and I think there's about 15 16 pages that mentions the fourth step in our literature. But, but there's something here that I wanted to read because I fell short on it. Okay, same thing. But it talked about that I had to continue. Oh, here it is. I've stayed clean by the grace of God. The steps have become my life. I had to take many inventories, the fourth and fifth steps. And I will continue to have to write down what is going on inside of me and give it away. I mentioned to you, like my first 5-6 years, I wrote everything. I don't do a lot of writing no more. But the basic text simply tells me, it's here in black and white on page 217. It says, I've stayed clean by the grace of God. The steps have become my life. I had to take many inventories, the fourth and fifth steps, and I will continue to have to write down what is going on inside of me and give it away. So if I'm not identifying what's really going on inside of me, and if I'm not putting it on paper, it's not real clear, because there's a whole lot of stuff be going on inside of me, but I stopped writing for some reason. I don't know why. I stopped writing. I stopped writing a few years ago, period. You know what I mean? I mean, I got stuff everywhere. Everywhere I've been, I got stacks of stuff where I've been writing for years. I got stuff from 1994 up to maybe, I don't know, 2003, 2004. I stopped writing. You know what I mean? So I probably need to get back to the writing since I read it. You know what I mean? Because they say this is life-saving literature. But if I don't know what's in here, how am I going to help me? How's it going to help me save my life? You know what I mean? I don't try to dissect the literature. I just try to keep it simple, like the way it is. But I thank God that I did take directions, and I did follow up my fourth step with a thorough fifth. I hear a lot of people talking about I've been writing my fourth step for 4 or 5 months, and 6 or 7 months scared the hell out of me. And then I hear people talking about they've been done with their fourth step for 4 or 5 months and haven't done a fifth. Because it's talked about in the literature, we thoroughly followed up with a fifth step. It don't say sit on it. Because what I've learned, anything may happen in between time. When I put stuff on paper, if I don't expose it with somebody else as soon as I can, anything may happen in that time. I don't know what it is, but there's a danger sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, that's really probably unexplanatory. But like, you know what I mean? They tell us, you know what I mean? Don't sit on it. So, it's nothing to be afraid of. They say freedom ain't free around here. You know what I'm saying? Although, like, you know what I mean, some of my stuff was painful, but at least I know. See, I'm the kind of guy, like, where I know where I'm at, I'm all right. Where I know where I stand in any given situation, family, relationship, outside things I do, you know what I mean, people, as long as I know where I stand, I'm all right. It's when I ain't sure I get all mixed up. You know what I mean? That's why I got to come here. I still go to meetings faithfully. I work in recovery. I'm around addicts and criminals all the time. So, I mean, I'm reminded every day who I am or who I was. But it's a good day to be clean. You know what I mean? I hope I made a lot of sense and like, you know, giving you guys a little bit of insight. But, like, that the other part of this thing is talking about courage. Yeah, courage. I had the courage, but like I had a lot of fear too, but because I didn't know what was going on, and like I had to get a better idea of what was going on with me, and that was my motive for doing the fourth and fifth step. You know what I mean? Because then nobody had the answers I was looking for, and I'm pretty sure we all got stuff inside of us that don't nobody know was there but you. And but the problem is we got to go get it. I had to go get it, and like you know, but it's okay. If you're new, get your sponsor. If you don't have one of these, get one. And if you got one of these, read it. You know what I mean? I went to a lot of step meetings in early recovery. A lot of step meetings. I bought a lot of step material. I bought a lot of step tapes. You know what I mean? Because I had to hear, I'm the kind of guy that hear that stuff over and over and over again. I got to read this over and over and over again. Stuff don't stay here real clear. Like some people can read something and they'll remember it and recite it. I can't do that. You know what I mean? I got to read it over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Like, just for today, and why are we here, and who's an addict? I need to keep hearing it. But I want to thank you guys for listening. And I'm going to let my buddy here take over and clean it up with the Distant Four. And you guys have a good weekend.
All right. Our second speaker, Mike B. from the Lower Mount Highlands there.
Hello, everybody. I'm Nack, named Mike. I was kind of hoping he talked for a long, long time, but he didn't. Can we reopen with serenity prayer, please? God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That serenity prayer is real important to me. The way that I see this, from my view of being here for a little bit, the steps are to save my life. The traditions are for the group, for the home groups. There are traditions also, but tradition four is it's mainly for the home groups. And I'll be totally honest with everybody because I'm able to do that today. I have not thoroughly worked this tradition. Due to me, I have worked a couple of traditions with myself and with sponsees, and I've never worked a tradition with my sponsor, and that's, like I said, that's on me. But I do read, like he said, you know, this book, I didn't even want to write in this book. I didn't want to highlight or anything because I said someday maybe I can pass that on, and the person that gets it will be able to highlight their own stuff. And somebody with a lot of time said to me, well, maybe that's the stuff they need to save their life. I don't know. But I ended up sitting over there in my car, and I did write, you know, underline some things here. And, I struggled. This is how my higher power works for me today. I'm going to just brief on tradition one. I used to condemn other home groups, different areas. Like, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with that. This is crazy. And then it was thrown in my face, and no sooner that happened, I started working that tradition with somebody, and when I read it, I was like, wow, I'm wrong. This ain't wrong. Every group should be autonomous, and autonomous to me, I try not to go back to the book, even though, like he said, this is where the answers are, because this was wrote by some people that were here long, long before us. But for me, like, I'm really proud of my home group. I try to go to group conscience as much as I can. I try to be there as much as I can. And lately, this is all God, I call, all right, whatever. But when I read this tradition and I started looking over it and trying to think of what all I wanted to say, none of that ever comes out anyway if you ever got up here, by the way. But there's some things that started coming across my mind, like, wow, this is what I need to do. This is what I need to bring up to a group conscience for us to make a decision on to make our group better, to help everybody in NA as a whole. This is what I need to do just to help my home group, just to help myself. By helping the home group, I'm helping myself. By stepping up sometimes and helping another home group, I've gone to home group already where there's nobody there. There's no GSR, no secretary, no, you know, you make the coffee, you chair the meeting, and you do what you have to do. It doesn't matter whose home group it is. It's all part of NA as a whole. But I don't have a choice but to go back to the book because I'm kind of drawing a little bit of a blank right now. Are we truly autonomous? The way I see it, from what I've read and what I've learned while I'm here, like, we need to be autonomous. We need to, and it says in here, by being autonomous, and making group decisions, and doing our formats, and the things for our home groups, we have the choice and the power to do what we need to do, except when it affects Narcotics Anonymous the wrong way. And, you know, if you've been here for a little bit of time, or you've been here for a good many years or whatever, I've learned in this process that no matter what I think sometimes about what's going on with a home group, even my own home group, I don't necessarily have the right answers. I don't necessarily, that's why we do a group conscience. That's why, you know, because I'm thinking one thing, somebody else is thinking something else. But then when you bring it together, you got people that have been here for a while. You got people that can actually think together and make decisions. And that's what it's about. You know, it's about doing, like, I like going to 12 and 12 meetings. I love going to my home group because it's a speaker meeting every week. I like hearing from people with some time. I'm not the addict that's going to come up here and be a circuit speaker. I don't want you to ever think that from me, because I'm up here to save my life, and that's it. And if I can help somebody else in a room, that's a benefit. But yeah, for me, like, given a set of principles to find freedom from addiction and a new way to live, we've got to follow the traditions and to grow, I believe, as a group. Like, I've gone to meetings and said, I'm never going back there again. But what am I missing? You know what I'm saying? Those people that are home group members to that home group, they show up at my home group. They participate. If we ask them to speak, they speak. But then I say, well, I'm not going to that home group because I don't like this. I don't like recovery is what I'm saying. I don't like to be clean. Because I might hear something in that meeting that day that's going to help me get today. And that's the reason for the autonomous part of it as far as I'm concerned. Because if every meeting was exactly the same, we come from a small town. If every meeting was an open topic discussion, I could tell you what this person's going to say on this subject. I could tell you what that person's going to say on this subject. But when you read out of here, this was formed for the home groups and for the individual from people that aren't even with us anymore. They came here, and I heard it last night at the meeting, they came here and they did what they had to do, and they spent their time and their efforts and everything to help put this book together for us to stay alive today. And they're not even here anymore, and they knew this book might not even get published before their life was over. But they still gave it to Narcotics Anonymous. You know, it's like he just shared. The answers to me are in the book. I can call people in the program. I can call people in my home group, my sponsor, whoever. None of us are perfect. None of us have every answer. You know what I mean? And I don't know. My home group, like I said, is, if you don't think you have the best home group in Narcotics Anonymous, you need to find another one. It says that autonomy gives our groups the freedom to act on their own and to establish an atmosphere of recovery, serve their members, and fulfill their primary purpose. It is for the reason that we guard our autonomy so carefully. To me, that just means, like, whatever our group decides, it doesn't matter what this home group says should be changed in this. If you want this to change in my home group, you need to join a home group, bring it up for a vote, because that's how this works for me. You know, I like I said, I always thought, well, this should be this way, this should be that way, and then it comes, somehow my higher power shows me through somebody else or through my home group, I don't even have the right answer. That's why this is done this way, you know. Like I said, I got to be honest with you. I never worked this tradition. I know it's important. The traditions are as important to me as the steps. And it also says about if we check to make sure that our actions are clearly within the bounds of our traditions. And if we don't, we consider the consequences of our actions ahead of time, then all will be well. You know, what that's telling me is if I think about, or our home group thinks about what we want to do ahead of time, and we make a conscious decision with some clarity, that we can better our home group and better the whole thing together to make everything better for ourselves and for everybody else coming through that door. I heard it shared not too long ago from people that I asked to speak from out of town that came to our meeting. And after the meeting, they come up to me and said, "Wow, I never experienced that, and I've been around for 8 years." And I'm like, "What's that?" And they says, "That guy hugged everybody coming through the door." I said, "Yeah." They asked me what they could do to help the home group. I said, "Go up and greet the person coming through the door." You know, I don't know. I think everybody needs to just concentrate. For myself, I need not share what everybody else needs to do. But for myself and for my home group, we need to stick together, become more get more strength. You know, I'm here to tell you, I'm that person that sometimes doesn't want to be a group conscience, doesn't want to be at that meeting. And then when I show up, it's like, boy, am I glad I came tonight. I heard this or I heard that, and I was able to be part of the change that we made as a home group. And that's what autonomy for me is, like, being able to do that as long as we stay within the format of Narcotics Anonymous to strengthen our home group and, you know, become better as a whole. But we also need to understand that the decisions that's made in this home group or that home group was made through a group conscience. So if they choose not to read a certain format or a certain something going on, then that's their choice. I'm powerless over that. But what I need to concentrate on is to make my home group stronger, and they make their home group stronger, and together we can form a better, stronger Narcotics Anonymous meeting place for that person coming through the door for the first time. If I'm chairing a meeting and you're talking, I don't care if you have 30 years clean, I'll look at you and tell you to shut up, because that person over there just come through the door for the first time, and he might need to hear them readings. You might have heard them 100,000 times. That person over there might need to hear him tonight to stay alive. I was that person. And I'm proud of my home group. I'm proud. I'm honored that I even got asked to share on this. I'll be honest with you. I said, "Don't you have something a little easier? Like, come on. Now, how long can you talk on a tradition when you haven't even worked it?" And they're like, "We have faith in you, Mike." Somebody does today. I'm going to get off the subject a little bit before I close. I'm really grateful to be here. I had some things said to me yesterday on the phone by my mother. Like, I said, "Mom, you need to stop talking right now. We need to hang up because you're making your son cry." And she told me how proud of me she was that I'm coming here, and that this year I'm bringing my son and dealing with everything I got to deal with. You know, like, I don't know. This program and this stuff has given me so much. Like, I had to come back to this retreat this year, because last year I left here with a resentment that has lasted for 1 year. And through having the people in my life that have been here before me and reaching out and asking, "What should I do about this? What should I do about that?" I had people putting their hand on my shoulder last year telling me, "Calm down, Mike. It'll be okay. Keep it spiritual." You know what I mean? And I'm really glad to be back here. I want to get involved in this next year, because this is my area. It's our area, but I'm part of it. And I'm really proud of this retreat. I hear from people all over that come here. This was the first retreat where this happened. This was the first retreat. This retreat's so special to me because this was part of that, you know what I mean? And I don't know. I've had pretty good experience up here. I left here on a spiritual high. Even though the way things went last year, I left here on a spiritual high that lasted for a month probably. And I'm so grateful for that and for the people that put this together this year on such a short notice, because people didn't step up. And I'm going to try not to be one of those people next year. So I have.
Thanks, guys.